Now, this is a story about Eli and his sons. And I wanted to just focus on verse 30 for a moment. But if you look at verse 30, it says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." That hasn't changed today. Those that honor him, he will honor. It says, those that honor me, I will honor, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And sometimes we have to look at those words. Let me just help you a little bit here, because sometimes the King James Version, you know, we can't use, or the words that we use like despise, you know, in our English language, we kind of think despise has a very, very harsh connotation. It just means very, you know, you're really harsh with something, despise. It means you're disgusted with something. But do you know that when you despise something, it means that you can regard something lightly? You know, you just go, eh, that's despising. You know, like, eh, you know, God told you to do something, eh, I'll get around to it. That's despising. That's not honoring God. If he said to do something in his word and you don't, you've despised it, or you've regarded it lightly. You haven't considered it. You haven't honored it. For who was the one that told you? Who was the one that spoke that? See, so when we honor something, I'll give you, these are just definitions. This is something out of the concordance. It says to be weighty, to be valued. So when we honor something, we value that. It says to be valued, to revere, to prize. Let me read this. This is just a dictionary definition. It says to treat with great consideration. See? To respect greatly, to regard highly, to esteem to the highest degree, to treat with dignity, to treat as precious, to show courteous regard or to revere. So when you think about this, if somebody, that's why I was saying the last time we were here, in our society, honor and respect is really conditional in the natural. But in God's kingdom, it's not conditional. It's a command. But in society, you know, we place honor and respect to those that have achieved something. You get a person that walks by a homeless person, they don't give him any respect. They don't honor them. And yet the Bible says we're to honor all men. Right? That's the Bible. It doesn't say honor only those that have reached a certain point. See? So the honor and respect in the natural here, we're talking about in our everyday life, people honor and respect based on a title, you see. But God is saying, those that honor me, I will honor. Those that despise me or regard lightly, he will lightly esteem. So when you honor something, you are expressing and demonstrating that it's valuable to you. So all of us, and I include myself in this, when we don't honor something, we don't give it the value that we should. We place something else above it. Isn't that true? So I'll give you an example. We get too busy. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to read God's word. We don't have time to fellowship with him. What have we done? We've placed something else above that. We've given it more honor, more regard than him. Isn't that true? I'm in the same place you are. And we have to evaluate that and look and say, okay, what am I giving place to? What am I giving honor and respect to that I shouldn't, right? So something that you honor, you give respect to. You give it a certain place. To simply ignore something can be despising. In other words, I ignore something that God tells me, then failing to esteem the things of God would be despising them, wouldn't it be? So that's why sometimes when we see in society, Pastor Greg and I were talking about this yesterday. I was talking to him very late last night, and I said, you know, some of the things that are going on in society today, you read in the news, like this particular woman in Kentucky that has taken a position to not do something because of her conscience, and then people are saying, well, she has to obey the law. Well, in the natural, that's true, but I'm going to tell you something. Look at the Bible and see the people that stood against regulations and laws in their society and said, I'm going to obey God rather than man. And somebody is going to have to stand up and honor God, and somebody's going to, even though it may be against some things, and I'm not here to side with anyone, anything, but what I am saying is that in our society today, you've got people on both camps that are saying, this is a, in other words, we hear this bandied about by the politicians, this is a society of laws, you have to obey the laws. Well, how did it become a law? They passed a law. Well, if they passed a law, I'm going to tell you, if you get enough Christians standing up and making some noise, they will make a law. They will pass a law. They'll say, oh, excuse me, we didn't know you were so upset. But what you have is you have people that are quiet and not standing up for God. And we've basically, I won't say it, been buying into some things. I'm not saying that we should stand up and protest. I'm not saying that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You better pray about some things that are coming down and what we have going on. Doesn't mean we condemn people, but I'll tell you, there's going to come a place in our society, if it doesn't change, because in Canada right now, you cannot proselytize on the street. It's against the law. And if there's not a change in this country, I believe there will be, but if there's not, there'll be laws that it will be against the law to do certain things that are Christian. And then you're going to have to decide who you will obey. Will you obey God or man? And I believe this plays right here. You honor God, he will honor you. You despise him, you will be lightly esteemed. And I believe sometimes we're going to have to take a stand just like this woman did. She's taken a stand for certain things. And what's happening is a lot of I'm not a politician, but somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I heard a senator say this. The Supreme Court cannot pass laws. They cannot pass laws. They can review and weigh and give a determination on the laws and the Constitution. So now, how did the Supreme Court pass something that they're not supposed to? How did it become now a law of the land that now same-sex marriage is a law of the land? Who signed it into law? Did you see anything in the news that the president signed it? Did you see anything in the news that the Congress passed a law that said what the Supreme Court determined, it passed over to the Congress because that's what's supposed to happen in our country, but the American people haven't got a clue as to how the country should operate? And so what you have is you have a court, a Supreme Court, that people think, well, they said so, so it's the law. No, it's not. It has to be passed by the Congress and then signed by the president. Did you ever see that happen? Was it news? No. So you ask yourself, how the heck did that happen? And nobody said anything. Nobody, no Christians got up and said, nobody said anything. So it's almost as if the society doesn't even know how the government should operate. Was that legal? So you understand, I'm not trying to make this a political point, but the point is that you have some things going on in the country that if you're sleeping and you just lay down and just you're going by every day and you're not paying attention, there's some laws that'll be passed that'll take away all your rights. That's the truth. And then what are you going to do? See, you'll lose your voice. So, anyways, over here, when it says we can despise or regard something lightly or negligible, but when we honor God and His word and His things, He will honor us. Let's turn over to, I want to give an to 2 Kings. If you turn over to 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to look at the Shunammite woman. And you can see here there are other instances. I want to just focus on this. We'll look at Cornelius. But you have examples in the Bible who honored God, honored God's people. See, when you honor God's people, you honor Him. So when you look at 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8, this is about the Shunammite woman, and it says here in verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. See, it wasn't just a woman, it was a great woman. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. And she constrained him, meaning Elisha, constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, see, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So you can see here, this woman honored the man of God, and God honored her. See, so we can see here that when we honor the things of God, we honor God, and we take the time to do that, there's some benefits. Now let's go to Acts chapter 4, and Acts chapter 10, and let's look at the story of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10. And let's start in verse 1. And we'll read down a few verses. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that does what? Feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Now listen to this. And he said unto him, thy prayers and what? Thine alms are come up for what? A memorial before God. You think he was honoring God? So you can see here in this story that his honor of God and his things got God's attention and sent an angel. The New Living Translation, it says, Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have not gone unnoticed by God. Whew. So when we honor God and his people, they don't go unnoticed by God. You may think so, but God's keeping a scorecard. He's keeping a scorecard of your prayers and your almsgiving and how you treat people. He's keeping a card. And I'll tell you, you know, we talk about, and rightfully so, we talk about believing and confessing. And we should. And it's scriptural. And you reap what you sow. So if you give money, you're going to reap money. But I'm going to tell you here, look at this. This story blesses me because this says here, God sent an angel to Cornelius because of his much prayers and almsgiving to the poor. to do what? To get his whole house saved. So there are times that you may need something in life that God's going to go back and look and say, they did this and this and this and this and this and this and this for my people. I want to do this for them. And it may not be money. It may be your life. It may be you're in death's door and you did some things that were special to God. And he'll spare your life. I know for me, you know, I was sharing this Friday night. I said, you know, sometimes when we think, you know, sometimes, you know, you think, well, you know, I'm getting by, I'm doing the word and so forth. I remember I was sharing this Friday. I said, you know, when I was home during this period when I was having this thing going on with my stomach, which was more nutritional, which had gotten to the point where I was on death's door. Because the Lord said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. It was 6 months. So I was home. As a matter of fact, I was home watching the television when the towers were coming down in 9/11. That's when all of this happened. And while I was home one night, I felt like I was slipping out of my body. I actually did. I felt like, I said, something's not right. I better call 9/11. I'm just feeling like I'm slipping. But all of a sudden, I felt steady. And I said, nah, I'm going to hold steady. I'm not calling. And went through the night, and I was fine. But I felt like I was slipping, like I was dying. And a couple years after that, this young lady came up to me at RLCC, and she said to me, you know, I've been meaning to tell you this. She said, the Lord woke me up one night and said, get up now. If you don't get up and pray, he's going to die. And I said, when was that? She said, it was on this date. And I said, yep, that was the date. I said, about what time? She said, very early in the morning. I said, yep. So a lot of times I don't know why God spared my life, but I know up to that point, God's going to fulfill the things that he's spoken over your life. But I also realized that I had given my life and my heart and my time way over and above what I was ever called to do in this ministry, to help Pastor Sarah and Clinton do the things that they needed to do. And I believe that that kind of giving of your time doesn't go unnoticed with God. And so he will spare your life in things, and when maybe normally you wouldn't. And so I see the same thing. It blessed me here at Cornelius because his prayers and his almsgiving, God saved his house. And so he did what? He honored God. And what did he do? He honored him. He didn't despise it. He didn't treat it lightly. And so I think sometimes, now here, let me just read this in Matthew 25. Let me just turn over there and read this story here. Matthew 25, you're familiar with this, but I'll start reading in verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. Says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hungry, and athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. So you can see here that when we do it to the least, we're doing it to him. So we can see here the importance of honoring, and that's why when we come and we give our time, where spiritual things are concerned, when we give our money, we need to not treat it lightly. I don't mean despise it, but I also mean you treat it with honor and respect. You're bringing something, because if some dignitary showed up here in the natural, we'd all be, whoop, so-and-so's coming. Right? We would. You'd make your best effort to say or do something, and you'd be there. So-and-so's coming. Well, how much more the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that when I bring and I give him my time, whatever time that is, I'm doing it to honor him. And when I honor the work of God, things that he's ordained and authorized, when I honor that, who am I honoring? I'm honoring him. And when I just despise it or treat it lightly, you know, like, eh, that's really what that is. Eh, that's treating it lightly. You know, in other words, it doesn't have any significance. Then what does he do? He treats you lightly. So we need to consider that when we bring our give our time to the ministry, the work of God, the things of God, when we bring our money into the ministry, to the work of God, treat it with honor. Honor God with that. Amen? I'm going to give these 4 points here. This is another way that we honor. This is how we honor. Turn over to, let me just give you these 4 points. When we honor, there's 4 things on how we honor. It's how we refer to someone, how we prefer someone, how we defer to someone, and how we confer. So, how you refer to someone, what does that mean? How you refer to the things of God. You know, I always kind of make fun of this, but people refer, how you refer to one another is an indication of how you honor them and respect them. How you refer to your husband or wife is a reflection of how you honor them. You know, when I was growing up, they'd say, ah, that's my old lady. No, that ain't your old lady. That's your wife. That's your helpmeet. So how you refer is a reflection of how you honor them. How does the husband refer to the wife? How does the wife refer to her husband? How do you honor them? Let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, this is a familiar scripture verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, look at verse 10. Jump down to 10. So when you honor, you do what? Prefer. So you refer, how you refer to someone, how you prefer someone. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. What's the next thing say? In honor, doing what? Preferring one another. So how you prefer one another is a reflection of how you honor them. Amen. Another one is how you defer. What does that mean? Submit or yield. You defer to someone, that means you go first. You take the lead. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. These are very practical things, but will get you far in life and with God. Hebrews chapter 13, and look at verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you, and do what? And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So you need to do what? It says, those that have the rule over you, you're to do what? Submit. Submit yourselves. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. So that's deferring to someone. And conferring, how we confer, look at John chapter 12 and look at verse 1. This is about Mary and Martha, John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, starting in verse 1, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha did what? She served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and did what? And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of ointment. She conferred upon him this blessing. She honored him. So how we refer to someone is the way we honor. How do we refer to God? Is he just the man upstairs, as the world says? You know, how do you refer to God and his things and his people? How do you prefer? How do you defer to someone? Do you submit and yield? And how you confer? How do you confer upon God and the people of God? So one thing that we need to keep in mind is that as we honor God, we are going to treat his things, treat the people of God and his things with honor, with respect, with great regard, high regard. One thing that has kind of been revelation to me, or light to me, I'll say it that way, is that when we talk about honor, and I want you to turn over for a minute because maybe it'll hit you the same way it did me. But why don't you turn over to Psalm 104, or Psalm 8. Let's go there first, Psalm chapter 8. There's a close connection between, you know, we sometimes get too familiar with English words, and we hear the word honor, and I think it has a greater significance sometimes, and there's greater revelation that we don't understand. As you're turning there, just also a reminder, Proverbs chapter 3, and verse 5 says, honor the Lord with what? It says, honor the Lord with thy what? Your substance. So when you honor God, there has to be something that you give that's costly to you. It means something to you. So when you honor God with your time, that's something that cost you something. You could have been doing something else. That's special to you. That means something to you. And when it does, that means something to God. And the same thing, when you give him your money, it costs you something. Let me say it this way. When you say honor, you don't just say, well, I love you, Lord. I bless you. I'll give you another example. When a husband or wife say to each other, I love you, it's a form of honoring the other person. There better be some action to that. You don't just say, I love you, without what? Some action. Something that costs you, right? Otherwise, it's not love. God sent his only begotten son. He didn't just say, I love you from heaven. He sent his son. Something that cost him for mankind to get them back. So he honored us by sending his son. So when we honor him, when we say, I honor the Lord with my substance, I don't just say, let me see what I got left over here. You don't do that at home with your husband and wife. Something costs you in that relationship. Your time, your love, your effort. And it's the same thing with God. We don't give him what's left over. When we honor him, we bring something that's valuable to him because it means something. I want to honor him with my time and my substance. That gets God's attention. And so, did you get to Psalm 8? So here you can see in verse 5, it says, for thou made him a little lower than the angels. That just means Elohim or God. So he made man a little lower than God. But what does it say? And has crowned him with what?
Glory
and what? An honor. Now, one of the things that I began to see is that when you see this, not in all cases, but in a lot of situations in the scripture, wherever you see honor, you see glory. He crowned man with glory and honor. And I think they're very directly linked, where honor and glory. So when it talks about when he asked Moses to lay his hands upon Joshua and transfer some of his honor, I believe he was talking about some of his influence, some of his anointing, some of the glory of God that rested upon Moses to lead the people. He transferred some of God's glory that rested upon Moses upon Joshua. See? So when God says, I will honor you, you honor me, I will honor you, I believe that there's an increased anointing upon our lives when we honor God. There's increased glory upon you. Increased influence upon you when you honor him. See, so we don't want to take that kind of stuff lightly, like, eh. No. I believe that when we honor God and we sacrifice things, he raises us up. How does he do that? He increases the glory, the honor upon you. See, sometimes people are trying to jockey themselves into positions of authority, into positions of prominence. And I'll tell you where that where elevation comes. Elevation comes just like Joshua. They served. They served a man, Moses. And God saw that, and God said, okay, now Moses, place some of that anointing that I put upon you, that honor put upon that man that served you. Now, I kind of looked at a few other scriptures that kind of bear that out. Look at Psalm 26. Look at Psalm 26. This is just food for thought. Psalm 26, look at verse 8. It says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Isn't that an interesting statement? I love the habitation. I loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. What dwelleth in his house? Glory. The glory. Another Psalm 104, verse 1, it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. He's clothed with honor and majesty. So glory and honor, I believe, are very closely. I'm beginning to see some light and some understanding in this area that when we talk about honor, it's closely related or synonymous with his presence, with his anointing, with his glory. Would you not agree? Look at, because I was just looking at these last night. Look at Ephesians for a moment. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3. We were talking a few weeks ago. Let me go back up. Verse 16, verse 3. We were talking a few weeks ago about strength, being strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of what? His glory, his anointing, his presence. To what? Be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. It's by this glory. That ye being rooted and grounded in love, how are you going to be rooted and grounded in love? By his glory, by his presence. It says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He's talking about the glory of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, how? According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So this honor, this glory, rests upon and increases in the lives of those who honor him. That's what he said in 1 Samuel. Those that honor me, I will honor them. I will anoint them. I will bless them with my presence. And those that don't, those that despise or treat lightly, I will lightly esteem them. So it's something just to keep in mind that as we go forward in life, esteem, highly regard God and his things and his people, and he will highly regard you. Amen? Praise the Lord.